The idea that a key to understanding the Bible is to see it as a story about God creating a people for himself. We started tracing this story in Genesis 1 and 2, where we saw God creating mankind in his own image, a people he could love, with whom he could fellowship. But in the rest of the Bible's prologue, that is Genesis 3 through 11, we saw this plan go horribly wrong, culminating in God's curse on humanity at the Tower of Babel that attacked our ability to be social with one another. Then in Genesis 12, we saw God taking the initiative with Abraham and making promises of blessings to him and his offspring. I refer to this passage as God's blessing agenda, as it lays out what is going to happen in the rest of the Bible. It also lays out what is happening now and what will happen in the future. I pointed out that God's blessing agenda would require lots of blessings to and care for Abraham and his offspring. It would also require the creation of a great nation. That is, lots of people associated with Abraham. And it would require a miracle, as Abraham and Sarah were well past the child creation years. Now, after Abraham obeys God's call and goes to the land of Canaan, many years pass. God takes care of Abraham in many ways and blesses him. But as Abraham and Sarah get even older, no child appears, and that becomes an even bigger and bigger problem.
当亚伯拉罕顺服神的呼召，前往迦南地之后，许多年过去了，神以多种方式看顾并赐福给亚伯拉罕，但随着亚伯拉罕和撒拉年纪越来越大，仍然没有孩子，这个问题变得越来越严重。Now,
God will address this offspring concern of Abraham. But before God performs a miracle to do so, God sets up a covenant with Abraham and institutes a marker to signify who is in this covenant community and who is not in it. Now let's read the first of our two passages about God creating a covenant community by turning first to Genesis 15, beginning with verse 1.
Let's read the first of our two passages about God creating a covenant community by turning first to Genesis 15, beginning with verse 1.
从第一节开始，弟兄姊妹请起立。
After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.
这事以后，耶和华在异象中有话对亚伯兰说：“亚伯兰，你不要惧怕，我是你的盾牌，必大大的赏赐你。”
But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless?" And the one who will inherit my state is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir.
亚伯兰说，主耶和华，我既无子，你还赐我什么呢？并且要承受我家业的是大马色人以利举谢。亚伯兰又说，
Then the word of the Lord came. Sorry, go ahead.
你没有给我儿子，那生在我家中的人就是我的父子。
Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be.
耶和华又有话对他说，这人必不成为你的父子，你本身所生的才成为你的父子。于是领他走到外边说，你向天观看，数算众星，能数得过来吗？又对他说，你的后裔将要如此。
And Abraham believed the Lord.And the Lord counted to him his righteousness.
亚伯兰信耶和华，耶和华就以此为他的义。弟兄姊妹，请坐。
In Genesis 15, God addresses Abraham's concern about his posterity, including who will inherit all the wealth which God has blessed him. In meeting with Abraham,God reconfirms by an oath the promises God had made earlier that Abraham would have a child. In fact, so many offspring that Abraham cannot count them. And Abraham believes God.
在创世纪十五章中，神回应了亚伯拉罕有关后裔的担忧，包括谁将继承神所赐给他的丰盛产业。神与亚伯拉罕相会。再次以启示的方式确认了之前给他所应许的，就是亚伯拉罕必定会有一个儿子，而且他的后裔将数算不清。亚伯拉罕以此相信神。
The writer of the letter to the Hebrews observes this about Abraham and this encounter with God. He says, "And by faith from this one man." And he as good as dead came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore.
希伯来书的作者在十一章的十一到十二节这样描述亚伯拉罕与上帝相遇的情形，因着信，所以从一个仿佛已死的人就生出子孙，如同天上的星那样众多，海边的沙那样无数。
It is also most important for us to note that Abraham's faith not only resulted in numerous descendants, but as the text said, Abraham believed God and he credited to him as righteousness.
我们也必须特别注意的是，亚伯拉罕的信心不仅带来了无数的后裔，而且还如圣经在创世纪十五章六节所说。亚伯兰信耶和华，耶和华就以此为他的义。
The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, points out how this statement shows us that we are put right with God not by our works, but by believing in God and His promises. Paul says, "Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation." However, to the one who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. For Abraham had no works, He just believed God and His promises.
使徒保罗在罗马书四章引用创世纪十五章六节亚伯拉罕相信神就算他为义，甚至于经文要向我们表达的含义是，我们与神和好，不是靠我们的行为，乃是靠着相信上帝和上帝的应许。罗马书四章四到五节说，做工的得工价不算恩典，乃是该得的，唯有不做工的只信，称罪人为义的神，他的信就算为义。因为亚伯拉罕并没有做什么，他只是信靠上帝和他的应许。
And then, in the following passage, which we did not read, but to increase Abraham's faith, God made a covenant with Abraham, using an ancient form of creating such a covenant by walking between animals that had been cut in half.
随后在我们赏味阅读的下一段的经文中，为了增强亚伯拉罕的信心，神与亚伯拉罕立约，并使用一种古代的立约方式，就是在劈开两半的牲畜之间行走。
However, this encounter with God did not result in a child by Sarah. Years pass, and God visits Abraham again. This time, God wants to reaffirm His promise of a child and His covenant with Abraham.
然而，这次神与神相遇，并没有立刻带来撒拉所生的儿子。多年过去，神再次向亚伯拉罕显现。这一次，上帝要重申，要赐给他一个儿子的应许，并且要与亚伯拉罕建立圣约。
But now God adds a new dimension to His relationship with Abraham. God wants Abraham and all those associated with him who receive God's blessing to be marked with the sign of the covenant that God has made with Abraham.
但现在，神在亚伯拉罕的关系中加入了一个新的层面。神要亚伯拉罕以及他所有与他相关并领受上帝祝福的人，都要以一个记号来表明他们与神所立的圣约。
Let us turn to Genesis chapter 7, starting in verse 1, to read about this new sign of God's covenant.
让我们翻到创世纪的第十七章，从第一节开始，我们来看看神为他圣约所设立的新的地方。
When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between you, me and you, and will increase your numbers greatly.
亚伯兰年99岁的时候，耶和华向他显现，对他说，我是全能的神，你当在我面前做完全人，我就与你立约，使你的后裔极其繁多。
Then moving down to verse 9, Then God said to Abraham, As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant which you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between you and me.
接下来我们看第九节一下，神又对亚伯拉罕说，你和你的后裔必世世代代遵守我的约，你们所有的男子都要受割礼，这就是我与你并你的后裔所立的约，是你们所当遵守的，你们都要受割礼，这是我与你们立约的证据。
For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.
你们世世代代的男子，无论是家里生的，是在你后裔之外用银子从外人买的，生下来第八日都要受割礼。你家里生的和你用银子买的，都必须受割礼。这样，我的约就立在你们肉体上，做永远的约。但不受割礼的男子，必从营中剪除，因他背了我的约。
In Genesis chapter 17, we read about this new sign of the covenant, which is the circumcision of all males in Abraham's household. By the sign of circumcision, God is marking out all those who are in this covenant community with Abraham and God.
在创世纪17章，我们读到了神与亚伯拉罕立约的新记号，就是对亚伯拉罕家中所有的男性行割礼。
And Genesis 17 teaches us a number of lessons about God creating a covenant marker for his people.
创世纪17章教导我们关于神为他的子民设立圣约记号的几个重要教训。
The first key lesson is that bearing the covenant sign of circumcision is not what puts people right with God. It is true faith in God that puts people right with God. As our earlier passage recounts, Abraham believed God and his promises, and God counted that as righteousness.
第一个重要教训是，带有割礼的圣约记号，并不是使人与神和好的原因。使人和好的是对上帝的真信心。正如我们之前经文所说的，亚伯拉罕相信神和他的应许，神就以此算为他的义。The
second thing we learned is that the covenant sign of circumcision created a clear sign of demarcation between God's people and those who were not. Adults that would not submit to circumcision were considered outside of the covenant community in God's promised blessings to Abraham.
第二个教训是割礼，圣约的这个记号清楚地划分了神的子民和非神子民之间的界限。那些成年人若不接受割礼，就被视为不属于这个圣约群体的人。
But the third thing we learn is that both adults and children were included in the covenant community. The children benefit from the blessings that the parents enjoy as part of the covenant community. As God continues to reveal more and more about himself and his ways of righteousness, the covenant children will also learn about these revelations.
第三个教训是，圣约群体中不仅包含了成年人，也包含了儿童，孩子们从父母作为圣约群体的一部分所分享的祝福中受益。随着上帝不断启示自己和公义的道路，圣约的子孙也会学习这些真理的启示。
The fourth lesson is that even though one was not biologically descended from Abraham, a person could still be included in God's covenant community. For even Abraham's foreign servants were included in the covenant community. This is a hint at the further broadening of all those who are going to be included in God's covenant community. And that includes us, who probably have no family relationship with Abraham whatsoever.
第四个教训是， 即使一个人不是亚伯拉罕的血统后代，也能被包括在上帝的圣约群体中，甚至亚伯拉罕的外邦仆人也被包括在圣约的群体里。这就预示着上帝的圣约群体将会不断的扩大，包括我们这些可能与亚伯拉罕没有亲属关系的人。
The fifth thing to note is that receiving the sign of God's covenant came at a cost. It was painful, especially for adults.
第五个需要注意的是, 接受上帝圣约的计划是有代价的，那就是很痛苦的，特别是对成年人来说。
Now, circumcision was not unknown in the ancient world, but it was also not generally practiced due to the pain. Enduring the pain of circumcision helped to mark those in the covenant community as special.
割礼在古代世界中并不陌生，但因这疼痛并非普遍的实情，承受割礼的痛苦，帮助标记那些属于圣约群体的人，他们是特别的。Now
the sixth thing we learn is that circumcision was to be a perpetual ordinance, something to be observed forever. There are actually two perpetual ordinances in the Old Testament that God's people were to observe: circumcision and Passover, which we will look at next month.
第六个教训是，割礼是一项永久的律例，是要永远遵守的。实际上，在旧约中，上帝子民有两项永久的律例要遵守，就是割礼和逾越节。我们将在下个月学习逾越节。Now
this last point raises some questions. If we are God's people, then why don't we insist on circumcision? And why don't we observe the Passover every year? Well, the answer is that we do. But they look different because Jesus, the Son of God, transformed them. Jesus transformed the two Old Testament ordinances into what we call sacraments: baptism and communion, or the Lord's Supper.
答案是，我们确实这样做，但他们的形式不同。这是因为神的儿子耶稣将它转化，耶稣将旧约的两项规律变成了我们称为圣礼的仪式，就是洗礼和圣餐，或者主的晚餐。
Now, my old pastor and famous Bible teacher, James Montgomery Boyce, was fond of pointing out how things in the Old Testament became better in New Testament practices. One of his favorite comparisons was circumcision versus baptism. In the Old Testament, it was just for males. In the New Testament, baptism is for everyone, both males and females.
叫詹姆斯·蒙哥马利·博伊斯经常指出，旧约中的事物在新约中得到了更好的体现。他喜欢用割礼和洗礼做对比，旧约割礼只针对男性，而新约的洗礼则是为所有的人，无论是男女。Baptism
is also less painful and less bloody than circumcision. It is just a dunking in or a sprinkling of water, which might be a little bit chilly, but not painful. And an infant being baptized might be startled and cry a bit. But if pain was part of the special marking of circumcision, where's the pain in baptism? It seems to be a missing element, doesn't it?
但是,如果痛苦是割礼中特别记号的部分,那么洗礼中的痛苦在哪里呢?这似乎是缺少了一部分,不是吗?
Well, the pain of baptism is not really gone. What happened is that Jesus took the pain of this covenant sign. How did he do that?
其实洗礼中的痛苦并没有消失，因为耶稣承担了这个圣约记号的痛苦。他又是如何做到的呢？
I want you to note carefully what I say each month when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. During that time, I'm careful to say what are called the words of institution. And one of the key sentences from the words of institution is reciting what Jesus said.
我希望你们仔细留意我每个月在你们举行你的晚餐时所说的话。那时我会特别谨慎地说出我们称为设立圣餐的话语，其中一句关键的话就是引用耶稣亲自所说的话。
Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." By saying that, Jesus is telling us that he took the pain of establishing the covenant sign for his people by shedding his own blood. But that does not mean that we here who are baptized into Christ and follow him know no pain.
主耶稣说，这杯是用我的血所设立的新约。耶稣这样说，就是告诉我们，为着他的子民，他亲自承担了立约期望的痛苦，流出了他自己的宝血。但这并不意味着我们这些受洗归入基督并跟随他的人就没有任何痛苦。The
Apostle Paul says this about our baptism. Don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were also baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
保罗在使徒保罗在罗马书六章三到四节在论到洗礼时说，岂不知我们是受洗归入耶稣基督的人，是受洗归入他的死吗？所以我们借着洗礼归入死，和他一同埋葬，原是叫我们的一举一动有新生的样式，像基督借着父的荣耀和死里复活一样。
Paul continues, "For if we've been united with him in death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin, ruled by sin, might be done away with, that we would no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin."
保罗继续在五到七节说，我们若在他的死的形状上与他联合，也要在他复活的形状上与他联合，因为知道我们的旧人和他同钉十字架，使罪身灭绝，叫我们不再做罪的奴仆，因为已死的人是脱离了罪。
So what does this being baptized into Christ's death and having our old sinful self be crucified with him look like in real terms?
受洗归入基督的死，并将我们的罪孽的老我与他同钉十字架，这实际上是意味着什么呢？
Well, Jesus said it best, as he always does. He told those who believed that he was the Christ or the Messiah that whoever wants to be my disciple, Jesus said, must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it.
告诉那些相信他的人，就是基督的人说，若有人要跟从我，就当舍己，天天背起他的十字架来跟从我，因为凡要救自己生命的，必丧掉生命；凡为我丧掉生命的，必救了生命。Those
are daunting words, and they indicate that being part of God's covenant people means we will suffer and no pain as we seek to follow Christ.
这些令人，这些话令人敬畏。他们也表明，作为上帝圣人子民的一部分，作为追随基督的我们，也将会遭受苦难，经历痛苦。But
there is encouragement here also, though, for God's people. For those who truly believe in Jesus and want to follow him are not only baptized with water, but they are also given the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who gives us true spiritual life. who helps us put to death the misdeeds of our sinful nature, and who gives us the spirit of adoption by which we know that we are truly the children of God. So let me sum up what we have learned today. As part of the process of creating a people for himself, God creates a covenant with his people. And as part of creating a covenant community, God also created a covenant marker for those who are in the covenant community. For us, Jesus has created the covenant for us through his death on our behalf. Baptism is a marker of that covenant. But it is not just a marker. It is symbolic that in believing in Jesus and deciding to follow him the rest of our lives, which is the covenant commitment on our part, that we identify with Jesus in his death and his resurrection. This means we put off the old man of sin and live in newness of life that Christ gives us. And this is how the promises of God to Abraham become distilled as blessings to us in Christ. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for always taking the initiative with us, for sending Jesus and making us into a covenant community who worship you and enjoy your blessings and fellowship. Through Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.